Today's presenter is Kevin Saker. Kevin has worked in TX Series CSCS Level 2 support for over eight years. He started his career as a CSCS application programmer in DOS and VSE for a year. He switched to MVS and spent 5 years doing application work. He then moved on to become a CSCS system programmer on MVS for 5 years. After that, he moved to the Windows and AIX environments doing image management workflow systems which interacted with applications in CSCS. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Kevin.
Good morning, everyone. At this point, I'd like to get started with the presentation. If we can move on to slide 2. Okay, this presentation is designed to help a TX Series CICS customer to work through migrating their existing configuration to the latest version, which is version 6.1. The presentation has been divided into three major sections: considerations, the CICS migrate command, and the steps for a successful migration. Let's start with the considerations. Okay, now on to slide 3. When upgrading an existing installation of CICS, the restriction requires the older CICS software be uninstalled before 6.1 is installed. This is due to changes in the installation software used in version 6.1. Now a product called Install Shield Multi-Platforms, or ISMP for short, is used for all the platforms. This helps you to have a more consistent installation process between if you have multiple platforms. Okay. Now, with virtualization becoming more popular, we don't want to say that one CICS to a machine. So we're starting to use the word instance in place of machine or system. Okay, moving on to slide 4. Here you can see a sample virtualization. For those not yet familiar to virtualization, let me briefly describe what it is. With virtualization increasing popularity, a single computer may have more than one operating system running on it. Virtualization allows more than one operating system to run on the same piece of hardware at the same time. Each installation of an operating system on the hardware is called an instance. IBM calls the process logical partitioning. AIX systems are virtualized by using LPARs. HP systems use entpartitions for the hardware side and VPARs for the software side. Intel systems can be virtualized with products like VMware. One CICS can be installed once on each of these instances. In the example, we see a P-series hardware with three LPARs configured. Each of the LPARs have a different version of the operating system and a different version of CICS. Okay, next slide, 5. These are the high-level steps in migration to version 6.1. Each step contains many tasks to complete it. The tasks vary depending on your implementation and the current procedures in place. Exporting creates a backup of the region. Basically, it's a safety net for the unexpected mistake. The export allows you to restore the region and start over with the migration task. Backing up the var directory is for the times when migration is not progressing as expected. You hit the point in time when the system needs to be either functional under 6.1 or restored to its previous working configuration. This backup will restore the CICS configuration. The older version of CICS has to be removed manually. The new install shield will not uninstall previous versions of CICS. Okay. And then you will install the new version on the system. And then last is to migrate the region and other items. We go into the steps in greater detail later in the presentation. Okay, moving on to slide 6. When converting to 6.1, you do not have to upgrade the existing system. Using a different machine or a new virtual image on the same hardware makes the migration a much easier task. The biggest risk of migrating a system is not completing it on time. Minor difficulties can arise which will slow down the overall progress. Too many of these minor delays can push you past the available time and lead to a restore the old version. There's always the unexpected major problem which can instantly kill the migration process. I feel the best advantage to being able to is being able to phase in the new system over time. This allows bugs to be worked out satisfactorily and sufficient testing to be performed before committing to the new version of CICS. Okay, moving on to slide 7. With the removal of DCE as a new restriction, the SFS file server and the PPC gateway have to be located to the same instance of the operating system. It was common previously to have the software on different systems for performance reasons. With today's systems, this should not be a problem. DCE has been eliminated from the product. The Encina parts used by CICS are now integrated into the CICS base code. These changes have eliminated the separate DCE and Encina installations. All the platforms use the same installer. The install steps are the same for the platforms. Knowing how to install on one platform makes installing CICS on the other platforms a simpler process. We're moving on to slide 8. The RPC client was removed from version 6.1. Along with the client, what the ECI and EPI interfaces offered by the RPC client. A copy of the CICS Universal Client version 6.02 is shipped with CICS product 6.1. In version 6.1 includes one license of the Universal Client for use by you at your installation. The current RPC-based ECI and EPI client applications must be recompiled and linked to the CICS Universal Client libraries. Information on building ECI or EPI applications is in the CICS Universal Client Programming Guide and Programming Reference Manual. There may be some minor coding changes depending upon how the applications are written. Okay, on slide 9, the new web-based console is a great improvement to CICS. It simplifies the administration a great deal. The administration console has a section on the configuration. The administration guide has a section on the configuration and operation of the new facility providing the web console. The default port is set to 80, which is the default port for most web servers. It is highly encouraged to change this port and restart the web console server. The full URL is here in the slide. As you can see, the port was changed to 9853. Now just start up to your web browser and point to the administration port to start the web console. You can do this from any machine that has a browser. So if you have a installation where you have a back room full of machines where CICS is running, you can run the administration at your desktop. Okay, moving on to slide 10. Here are reasons to utilize the new web console. This is a move to standardize the look and feel of CICS on the distributed platforms. Okay, now moving on to slide 11. Okay, the environment variable CICS under var host is no longer used for the RPC client. Its only use now is for connecting regions on different systems using the PPC-TCP protocol. Some existing environment variables from version 5.1 and before will interfere with the operation of CICS version 6.1. They have to be removed from the system. Failure to remove these environment variables will cause operational problems in admins of the CICS region. Moving to version 6.1 has made it easier by enabling migration from version 5. This eliminates the need to install version 5.1 just to run the CICS migrate command. So if you're a customer that hasn't migrated to 5.1 yet, moving to version 6.1 is just as easy as moving from version 5.1. Okay, on slide 12, there are a few new commands in version 6.1. They are used at the command prompt in a DOS or Unix terminal, or you can use them in your scripts. Here we see the CICS CP status command with the all function selected. It displays information on all parts of the configuration of the system. On the bottom half of the slide here is a sample execution of the command. You can see there is a PPC gateway, two SFS servers, and a region configured. Each of the different options for the CICSCP status command will show just the configurations related to it specifically. So if you do a CICSCP status region, you will get the line, the status line, just for the region. So in the display here for CICS status all, if you had CICS status region and the region name, you would see just the region 1 line presented. This can help you with running scripts and what you use for managing the regions on your machine. Okay, on slide 13, the CICSCP version command displays the version, the PTF, and the interim fix level of the installed software. This eliminates you from having to go to the console and looking at the first line. It makes it, and you can, okay. The example here shows that version 6.1 is installed along with PTF1. It is the same information as you can see in the console. It is the same data string. Okay, the CICS error command is an alternative to using the messages manual. All the information appearing in the manual for an error is displayed when you use the CICS error command. The example here shows how to look up a message from the console. The sideband codes can also be used with CICS Air. So if for this example, we're trying to get the text for error ERZ012001I. When you run this command, everything that you see in the manual is presented right below here for your reading. So you don't, so there's no need to reference the manual at all. And now for ABNs like APCT, you can just type in CICS error space APCT, and the information for that command will be displayed also. Okay, page 14. The third-party software used with the version 5 and 5.1 of TX series may not be supported with version 6.1. It will be useful to take an inventory of the software installed currently on your machine and compare it against third-party page for your platform. The latest software level supported at 5.1 usually offer a migration path to version 6.1. Fixed packs and support packs for different software should not make a difference. You should take a stepped approach when migrating. Avoid making upgrades to third-party software when migrating the region. This may lead to configuration conflicts, which may take time to understand and resolve. Planning to upgrade the software before or possibly after the CICS migration. If you do not upgrade, give the system some, or if you do upgrade, I'm sorry, give the system some time between changes to discover problems or bugs that may be a result of software upgrades. So what I'm trying to get at is don't change DB2 and then comm server right after each other. Give it a little bit of time to work out any bugs that may be in the software, and so that you're not presented with a bunch of fatal errors and maybe an impossible situation to handle or downtime. So doing them one at a time in a stepped approach with some settling in time in between helps out the uptime of the CICS region. It cannot be stressed enough about the importance of having the correct levels of software installed. Without the correct software levels, you can refuse support for problems that you're having with your CICS configuration. Okay, slide 15. The XA switch load file is the link between CICS and the XA resource managers. It generates the SQL commands for the XA transactional calls from the information given to it from CICS. Depending on the customer's needs, it can be changed or altered for the calls that it generates. There are a lot of times the customer can get lucky and with the supplied switch load, and it will work initially, and everything's good. When it doesn't, it will need recompiled. The recompile resolves library conflicts, which are the result of different level of resource, which may result... The recompile resolves library conflicts, which are the result of different levels of the resource manager being used than what was used by CICS at the time the product was produced. So, for example, the base level of DB2, when CICS was developed, was 8.2. We know moving to version 9.1 causes library conflicts, which requires a recompilation of the switch load file. Oracle and MQ seem to have the highest need for recompilation. Their fixes and upgrades tend to affect the switch load file also. A recompile will correct the problems almost every time. If your site has modified the makefile previously, it's important to review the changes with 6.1. On some platforms, the compiler command has changed. The location of libraries may have changed, especially those previously shipped within CNET and DCE. What I'm trying to stress here is if you do have a make file that you used before for the switch load file, please review that. It has changes. Okay, on to 16. The CICF migrate command has the knowledge of what the changes are between the releases. When it is run, changes are made to the permanent database stanza files so they will work with the new release of CICS. The permanent database is a collection of stanza files which are used to customize the CICS configuration. Most of the stanza files are under the database directory for the region. CICS Migrate moves the changes forward only. If you have to back out a migration, you need to restore the stanza files from the backup. And this is why we had you take the CICS export command. On the Unix systems, the command generates a script, which is then run to make the stanza changes. On Windows, just the script is supplied. For customers which have special situations, the scripts can be modified to suit your specific needs during the migration. Okay, slide 17. As you can see on this slide, the CICS migrate command does all the tedious changes, which if done by hand, are error-prone. So this ensure that we're helping to ensure your success by using the CICS migrate command. The scripts generated by CICS migrate use existing CICS commands to make the changes. And all these commands are documented in the manuals. So if you need to change the scripts, you'll be able to understand the commands used within the scripts by referencing the admin reference manual. On page 18, slide 18. Okay, here's the syntax of the CICS migrate command for the different platforms. The options on the open statements on open systems, The options on the open systems command can restrict changes to certain categories of the stanza files. And you can refer to the CICS admin reference manual for details on the options. Okay, slide 19. Here are some examples showing how to use the CICS migrate command. the first example here. Generate the script to migrate only a region. So if you're looking at the migrate, CSS migrate command here in example one, over in the rightmost side, you have the dash R option to migrate region one. And all that will be migrated will be region one. Okay, and the second example here is restricted only to the SFS for migration. Over, again, over on the right-hand side, you see the dash S switch was used, and only the SFS servers that you have on the machine will be migrated. Third example shows the migration of all the pieces of the CICS configuration. So you'll have regions at the SFS and the PPC all done at one shot. Okay, note the use of the log files on the command, which is the dash O switch. The log is important when you're in migration. You need to review it for problems after generating the script. It's hard to tell what minor problems may exist in your configuration. And reviewing the log files will give you a better feeling that you'll be able to successfully migrate the resources that you requested. Okay, on the bottom here is the Windows example. Here, when you say CICS migrate, you can have it migrate just the region itself. And referring to the manual, you'll see that you can put the SFS and PPC gateways in there also. Okay, slide 20. Okay, migration of the region takes some coordination of different tasks. These steps described are for what would be considered a normal region. Depending upon how your configuration and applications are built, additional steps may be needed. It is important to understand that all these items in your installation It's important to understand all the items in your installation, which will add to the steps listed on the following foils. Review all the steps for migration. Create a plan which fits the need of your installation. From the plan, generate a checklist to track the tasks as you progress through them. Spending time planning the migration will make the progress of the process more successful. It may take multiple attempts with a test system to verify all the steps have been discovered. Migrate the region covers the steps to accomplish the hardest part of the process. Two methods are covered: migrating region in place on the same machine and migrating the region to a new installation. Migrating the file manager shows how to move the SFS files when using a new install. Application migration task has the details getting the application functioning again after migration. And post-migration steps are the final items to finish your migration. Okay, slide 21. As you can see, here is a very long list of tasks to migrate the region on the current system. Okay, first step is to shut down the region. Well, it looks like we're having a problem with the presentation here. Okay, we're back on slide 21. The first step is to shut down the region normally without problems. This has to be done since a cold start is needed after the migration. Any outstanding transactions have to be resolved before migration, or they will be lost during the cold start. Warm starting region is a good way to verify recovery process is not required. So start the region warm and shut it down. Then review the console and verify there were no problems at startup on the recovery processes. Recovery processes will be noted in the console file, so you'll see messages as the region starts up saying that it has to recover this, or it can't find certain transactions, or can't find a can't resolve existing transactions. These are the items that you have to be concerned with, and you need to work out the solution between CICS and the resource manager that it's working with. Okay. Forcing a shutdown before migration may lead to unresolved transactions after migration. After shutting down the region, you can shut down the SFS and PTC. Exporting the region creates a backup of the region, which can be used to restore the region after failure in migration. And the syntax for the CICS export command will be CICS export space dash R space region name space dash O space slash archive slash region 1 export. So what the command I just described will do is take the export file, which it generates, and put it in the archive directory for the CICS regions. A complete backup of the system is the best insurance to restoring the system. Verifying the backup procedure is as important as performing the backup itself. Some sites choose to test the migration in the new CICS region on weekends before committing it to using it in production. Restoring the system to its former state after testing is part of the plan. A functional backup is required for the situation. And you can never tell when any unforeseen problems may appear during the migration, bringing it to a stop. So be prepared and make sure you have a good backup of the complete system and it's usable. Okay, for uninstalling the software, look at the installation guide for the release you're on for the install instructions. There's a chapter in the manual explaining how to install that specific release of software you're on. Okay, unset the environment variables mentioned earlier in your presentation. Use the installation guide for help installing CICS. Next, migrate the configuration. Have CICS migrate all the CICS components on the system, the region, the SFS, and the PPC, if you're using a PPC. With the dash O option on the CICS migrate command, all the activity for the migration is in the log. Review the log for any commands which did not complete successfully. Investigate any problems and resolve those causes. If an unfortunate event happens where a migration has a failure, the old region definition can be restored with an import of the region. And this is using the file generated on the CICS export command. Okay, next we restart the SFS and the PPC, and then we cold start the region. Okay, installing and running the IVP, which is the Installation Verification Program, is a good step to ensure the region is functioning properly. Okay. Moving on to slide 22. As you can see, there are a lot of steps that are the same from the previous slide. Okay, start with installing the CICS software on the new machine. Configure it and start a test region. Use the IVP to check the installation went well. A lot of times the IVP can detect errors and notify you of these errors before you actually get into putting your application on the machine and having a number of problems with that process. On the old system, the region has to be shut down normally without any problems and outstanding transactions, because the cold start is needed after the migration. Okay, outstanding transactions which have not been resolved before the migration will be lost, as we know from the last slide. Warm starting the region is a good way to verify the recovery process is not known. Forcing shutdowns before migration may lead to unresolved transactions after migration. And forcing the shutdown to resolve these transactions, you'll have to go into either the database or the SFS itself and force these transactions to a successful finish, whether it's backing them out or moving them forward. Okay, next we need to review the console files to verify the shutdown process is clean. And in the console, you'll note any errors that state the recovery has failed. And you have to react to those messages to resolve those issues. Exporting the region creates a backup of the region, which will be used to create the region on the new system. So here we have to export so we can move our CICS region to the new machine. Okay, once we generate the export file using the CICS export command, we move the files to the new system with the facilities normally available to you at your site. You may possibly use FTP, an FS, or a file system shared between your machinery. Okay, then we restore the region to the new system with the CICS import command. After that, we use the CICS migrate command to move the SANSA files to the 6.1 level. All the activity for the migration will be in a log. Review this log for any commands which did not complete successfully. Any problems need investigation and the cause resolved. If an unfortunate event happens where the migration has a failure, the old region definition is always available for you to do this a second or third time. Okay, now, depending upon which file manager you decided to use, you may need to use the CICS SFS config, the CICS DB2 config, or the CICS ORA config utilities to generate the entries for the temporary storage and transient data queues. The utilities will also change your region definitions in the RD stanza to point the region to the new file server. So what happens here is you have a new machine, you create an SFS for that machine, which is by default part of the machine name. So as you move the CICS regions between instances or systems, the SFS server name will more than likely change, or DB2 server you're going to will change. So we need to use the configuration utilities to adjust the region to use the new file servers. Okay, now if you have applications which use files in the file manager, you need to use the CICS update class command, change the file server name for all the file entries in the FD stanza. Okay, next we need to start up the file manager. And then migrate the files for the file manager. And this step is covered in some slides later in the presentation. Okay, once we have all these steps done, we can cold start the region and review the CICS console file for the errors, and then start a console or a terminal into the region and run a CEMT command to test the functionality, or you can use the IVP command to test the functionality. Case, slide 23. Okay, here are the steps for migrating SFS files to a new system. You can do it one of two ways. Either with the CICS SDT command or with the SFS admin command. Currently, you should be using one of these commands to back up the application files in your current configuration. What you should do is borrow commands that you already have in place for these backups. And use them to back up the files for movement. Okay, it's important to check the record counts and the file definitions to ensure that all the data has been migrated successfully. The import command will automatically define the files when they are not present in the SFS. CICS SDT will also create the SFS file, depending upon how the backup was made. So this is on the CICS SDT command. There's a switch called as is. And if you say as is yes, it will just collect the data out of the current SFS. But if you say no, the file definition will come along with it. Okay, slide 24. Okay, for migrating DB2 and Oracle tables, you can use the database utilities themselves, or you can use the CICS apply commands. As mentioned before, use the recovery process already in place with your file manager to define these tables in the database. The steps for defining the tables will work for creating the tables in the in version 6.1 system. If they do not have a recovery procedure in place at this time, this is a great opportunity to create a recovery procedure for your file manager and implement it. It's I can't stress enough about how the steps you have to take to ensure yourself against data loss. Once you lose data, it's very hard to recover the data. Okay, slide 25. This slide is for migrating the applications that you have running under CICS. Okay, in version 6 and 6.1 CICS, we have moved to the current pthread model, which is draft 10. Previously, draft 4 pthread model was used in version 5.1 and before. Running different levels of pthread in the same process will cause issues and can lead to add-ins or undesirable behavior. So we don't want to mix draft 4 programs and draft 10 programs in the same process. Okay, so since CICS has migrated to draft 10, this forces the issue of changing your C programs to draft 10. Most of the time, this is just a simple recompilation with the current C compiler using a different compiler command. Previously, on AIX, the compiler command for C programs was XLC underbar R4. You'll see that for the switch load scripts or in the kicks tickle scripts that you have. When you run these commands, you'll see the XLC underbar R4 in the version 5.1 before. And that was for draft 4 of pthread. Now the command for the C programs is XLC underbar R. View all your make files and change the compiler command. Now you also have to verify symbolic links for the compiler, which exists in the user bin directory. Verify the symbolic links are pointing to the correct executable. We have seen in previous installations where the C compiler has been installed, where links from the XLC underbar R, XLC underbar R7, and XLC underbar R4 commands were all pointing to the XLC underbar R4. So when the customer wants to recompile a different version of the compiler command, he was getting the same result for his program, which was draft 4, which continued to cause the same problems. So it's important to look to the user bin directory to make sure that the symbolic links for your compilers are pointing to the correct programs. Okay, if you need help with the change in the compiler commands, you can use the tickle command, the CICS TCL, to compile a sample program. And when you do that, it will display the compile command used for that. And at that point, you can see the syntax of the kicks tickle and how it's using the new compiler commands. Okay, now removal of DCE also puts a burden to recompile due to removal of links to DCE libraries. So as your If you have a program that's currently running on version 5 and you move that over without recompiling, you'll start having load errors because programs can't find libraries that are existing under the old VCE bin directory. Okay, looking at Java, some versions of the 1.4 Java programs may work with the 1.5 runtime. You'll need to perform extensive testing to verify compatibility if you're running in this mixed mode situation. Recompiling at version 5.1 of the Java runtime will eliminate compatibility issues. So here you either have to commit to recompiling your Java or you have to perform testing. Okay, now MicroFocus COBOL. You need to generate a MicroFocus COBOL runtime for the system you configured using the CICS MK COBOL command. This should be familiar to you because you've done this in the past. Now, when you use databases or MQ with MicroFocus, there are other additional changes needed. So review the sections in the administration guide for these additional instructions on linking the necessary libraries in with the MicroFocus runtime. Now, MicroFocus has a requirement to rebuild all programs by moving to version 4 of Server Express. So if you're currently on version 5 or 5.1 using MicroFocus version 2.2, MicroFocus has a requirement for you to recompile these programs. Now, it's important to check with the different manufacturers of your compilers and third-party software to see if recompilation is needed. Moving to new levels of compilers and moving up operating system levels may trigger the need to recompile. The only way to figure this out is to research the compilers that you're using at the manufacturer's website. As I mentioned earlier in the presentation, you will need to convert your ECI and EPI applications to use the Universal Client. If you try to recompile your applications without moving to the Universal Client, you will have failures. These programs will fail to execute. Okay, slide 26. Earlier information was mentioned for the XA switch load files. It holds true here also. If in doubt of whether a problem is caused by the XA switch load, recompile it. It's not going to hurt anything. For scripts, messages may have different formats. Commands may have different options in version 6.1. Custom scripts may have dependencies on these old formats and options. Review the scripts and make changes when required. So run some tests, make sure they still do function correctly under 6.1. If not, get out the admin reference manual and see what may have changed. Okay, it's very important to start a new set of backups once you convert to 6.1. So once you have completed all the work of migration, it's going to be a large chore to do it again. So generate a new set or generate a set of backups once configuration is considered fully functional and that you're going to commit to it and go forward with it. So if Media Archive is used with the SFS, you need to force a complete backup again so you can get a picture of the SFS at the point in time which you're starting, so you have a restore point for your data. You don't have to go through moving it from 5.1 up. And also you should back up the system again, and you should back up your CICS regions again. Just so you have a set of backups to restore to in case in a couple of days you have a disk failure or an OS failure which causes a problem with one of your data sets. Okay, and also start using the new admin GUI. You'll find it makes monitoring the system a much easier task. It's very visual, and there's a lot of information there that customers have been asking for all in one place. Okay, slide 27. This is a summary of migration. It can be a very complex task, so be prepared to put some work into it, and be prepared to face any problems and resolve them. Create a checklist. It's important to have this checklist when you're converting a production system, because one step, missing a single step, can cause an effect on the region where you may have to back out and restart. And you're going to lose time doing that if you're in a situation where you're migrating in place. And when you create this checklist, you should test it on regions in your test system. Is this to verify that you've caught everything for your installation. And most important, don't just, if you see a problem, research it. Don't just leave it out there and say, oh, it'll cure itself. Because 9 chances out of 10, it'll come back and cause a problem for you later. Okay, slide 28. Okay, here are some additional WebSphere resources. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable information online for online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers an in-depth technical information. The events link on the support page points you to webcasts and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for customer or for user groups information and for more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up to the learning curve more quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Exchange clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly emails on updates for the products you are interested in. At this point, this concludes the presentation.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future webcasts or future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Kevin, for presenting today.